The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Let us pray. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So last week we discussed a little about the theology of work. And that this week, however, our collect begins, O Lord God, who seest that we put not our trust in anything that we do. It seems a strange thing that we are commended to exert ourselves, and yet we are not to trust in our own obedient exertions to bring about the results beyond their immediate object. Let me explain with the parable of the sower that we just read. The farmer's main object in his work is to bring about a harvest so that he may feed his family with it, and he may trade his produce in the community for the other necessities of life. So the farmer prepares his field. He gathers seed from his previous harvest and spreads the seed over the field. He has put in his work, but is he guaranteed an adequate harvest? No, because there's many other factors that must be considered in order for the seed to sprout, to grow in a healthy way, and to mature unto a harvest. The one who sows will hopefully tend to his field, watching for pests, providing water, keeping wild animals out who would root up the young plants. Yet for all of this, the sower is not guaranteed a harvest. First, we have the quality of the soil as described in the parable. Some of the seed falls on rocky ground that can't sustain new plants. Some is snatched away by birds. Some falls on weed-riddled ground. But some falls on fertile ground, and those seeds have the potential to bring forth produce. But there are still other factors, particularly the weather. What if there is drought so that not enough water is provided to the plants? What if it's extremely hot or cold? And we haven't even considered the miracle of life, which for all of our learning and science and understanding still evades our comprehension. Is a seed simply so many molecules arranged in a certain way that it automatically sprouts? Just a complex molecular machine encoded to be a dandelion or a pine tree? The mystery of life defies our mastery. The mystery of the human is beyond our manipulation. We cannot compel the thoughts of the mind or the loves of the heart. All of the factors beyond our efforts then rest in the hands of God. We must work, but it is God who brings about the harvest. This is why the first line of our collect that we prayed this morning uses the word trust. We cannot put our ultimate trust in our own efforts. Rather, we must place it in God, for it is God that meets us in our efforts offered to Him, and it is God who is Lord of the harvest. Now, let us be honest here. Humans do not like this arrangement because we want to be in control of the outcome. We want to control all the factors, so we will spray and inject chemicals. We will build hydroponic systems. We will adjust the DNA. We will write laws and regulations that bind the efforts of the sower. We want these specific inputs to always and everywhere generate these known specific outcomes. We want to eliminate the mystery to the process, and we want to eliminate God. We apply this to everything. Ever heard of outcome-based education? The whole theory is that we do these specific inputs, we teach these specific classes, and we get these specific outputs. Our education system is just a machine, right? We put the kids in, we put the curriculum in, and out comes the perfect worker. That's not a That's not a freeing education. Really, all of this amounts to the simple fact that of our original sin, that happened in our original sin. When the serpent told Eve that to disobey God was to become wise, to become like God herself. It's still our greatest temptation. We want to control everything. We want to be God. We want to replace God with ourselves. Of course, there is the opposite extreme possible in this situation as well. We're often tempted that because we cannot control the final outcome, that the work is not worth the risk. We are not willing to exert effort because we might not get what we want in the end. Sometimes this is a result of our temptation to laziness. We have better things that we would rather do. Sometimes this is a result of our lack of a harvest over time. In other words, we put in the work, but if we consistently don't get a return, we get discouraged. The farmer who sows his field year after year without any success can come to the conclusion that he doesn't have what it takes to farm, or that God is against him. So let's not waste any more time or money doing the same thing over and over and over again. Isn't that the definition that we popularly hear of insanity? But this does remind me of some missionary stories. I'm sure that you've heard these stories maybe growing up in the church, where faithful men and women answer God's call to missions by uprooting their lives and moving to live with a remote people group with the intent of bringing the truth of Jesus to them, converting them to faith in Christ. These individuals often labor for years and years to share God's love. Sometimes they even die without seeing the fruits of their labor. But God is Lord of the harvest. He brings about the harvest when it is time. And barring a miracle, he will not bring about a harvest if we do not put in the work in loving obedience to him. When we therefore pray the collect that we prayed this morning, we are affirming with God that the results of our actions and efforts, our work, are in his hands. This is what trust is all about. We move forward in faith, doing what we are called to do in this life to the best that we know how, and looking to God to bring forth the harvest. Thankfully, our God is a consistent God. We do not live in a totally chaotic world. We have learned from observation and study how to tend and care for young plants. We have good ideas from millennia of human experience how things should be done. We do live in a world that is governed by cause and effect. Yet there are always exceptions. There are always those factors outside of our control that can ruin the harvest. So why is this so? Well, two immediate reasons come to mind. First, it keeps us humble. We remember that we are not God. Partaking of the tree of good and evil did not make Eve into a God, and neither will our best efforts make us God, able to dictate outcomes to the world with impunity. There is only one God, and we ain't him. The second reason why we live in a world that is not simply mechanistic, that exists in the intersection of grace and work, is that it constantly reminds us that we are always ultimately dependent upon God. It drives us to God, for he only is able to govern the world in a way that brings health and life and peace to us and to all creation. This world does suffer from the effects of sin, so we flee to God for respite, for direction, for help and guidance in turning back the curse. And this brings us to the second phrase of our collect. Mercifully grant that by thy power we may be defended against all adversity. When we will face adversity many times and in many forms in this world, but we are not to just throw up our hands. We are required to to push back against the adversity in righteousness and in constant dependence upon God. Finally, though, the ultimate principle in this world is not mechanistic cause and effect. It is love. It is in love that God created the world. It is in love that God redeemed the world in Christ. And it is in love that God tends us as if we were young plants struggling to survive the rocky soil and weeds and the drought and the cold. In love, we are called to humble ourselves, to trust God, to receive the adversities that come our way, even when the power goes out, and to reaffirm that He will see us through them all, one way or another. The world as it is created so that we can learn of the deep, deep love of Jesus and to receive His love, but then also to develop in us the ability to love with that same divine agape love of God. But more on love next week. Let's tie this now, what we're talking about this morning, to the season that we are in currently, this pre-Lenten season. Last week, our lessons encouraged us to put off our sloth and to embrace the work that God has given us to do. This week, we are reminded that the results of our work are not in our hands alone, but that God works through us to accomplish His desired ends. And let's be honest, work can be hard and frustrating because God is more desirous of developing our character than He is of seeing that our desires are accomplished. God works in mysterious ways. During the season of the church, we are quickly approaching the great fast of Lent. It's only 10 days away. During Lent, God calls us to work on ourselves, to become aware of those things in us that are sinful and need to change. But this change is impossible without the grace of God. We must work, but God brings the increase. God brings the change. It is God that will conform us into the blessed image of Jesus Christ. During the next week, then, therefore, we should not be carrying on in a business as usual fashion. Rather, we should spend time preparing for the upcoming fast. Let us prepare the soil so that we may reap a harvest at the resurrection. Ways to do this? Well, first, let us pray to God that He would indeed make this a holy Lent for us, that He would provide the increase. And then let's examine our lives and loves so that we may be focused in our efforts toward godliness. Psalm 139, the last two verses read, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting." So let us pray that God would reveal those things in our lives that we're blind to, that we need to work on during this Lent. But then also, let's take some practical measures. First of all, it's recommended that you make a confession. So again, please keep your eyes open for communication on that. This isn't something that we American Anglicans are familiar with, so I will be sending out some more details. But please consider participating in this sacrament. But also give some consideration to the rule that you will follow during the upcoming season. What will we give up to shake ourselves out of complacency? Will we have periods of total fasting? How will we determine to serve our fellow man in some way that we don't usually do? It's difficult to participate in a fast when you don't know from what you are fasting. All these disciplines are designed to teach us mastery over ourselves and to increase in us dependency upon God and love for God and man. Lent is almost here. Let us be ready for the great things that God wishes to do for our parish and for each of us individually. May we take up the call to diligent work. May we remain humble in ourselves and trusting in God. God loves us and will bring the increase. God be blessed Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord God, who seest that we put not our trust in anything that we do, mercifully grant that by thy power we may be defended against all adversity, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.